with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross and Mike Pritchard in for Stormy and Michael today here on the Lombardi Line as we begin hour number two. We're going to ship up to Boston. Josh Applebaum will catch up with Josh a little bit later on in this hour. But this is a great segment that our producer, Steph, came up with. Respectful or rude? Just flat out rude when you look at some of these teams in the NFL and basically their numbers to make or miss the postseason. Now, I think we can look at the two conferences and say, and this doesn't mean that the AFC is going to win the Super Bowl. It just means the depth in the AFC, we can kind of look at it and say it's much deeper right now than the NFC. So I don't know that it's disrespectful. But the Bills to miss the postseason up there in Orchard Park is almost 2-1, plus $1.95 to miss the postseason. Are we starting to say that the window is closing? In upstate New York?
I mean, for a Super Bowl. You're talking about Super Bowl window,
well,
right?
Just to make the postseason, you get almost 2-1 to miss.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm in that group, and it might be a small group, that I think the Buffalo Bills are about to regress here.
Ooh.
And there's so many reasons why, but, I'll be quick about it. I mean, already Dalton Kincaid's going to be a glorified wide receiver, you know, pretty much. So it's more of the same offensively for Buffalo. They want Josh Allen to become a pocket passer, stop running, but he was a leading rusher on the team. They don't have a physical presence at all, offensively or defensively. It's an aging defense on top of that. And I think, you know, the blueprint offensively for Buffalo is well known. You know, they get into the playoffs and they get exposed, or they get later in the season, or they get into some key games, they get exposed, right?
The Bengals just beat them down.
Sure, sure. More physical. So they lack a physical identity there. And they lack a specific identity too, that I think they're long in the tooth when it comes to this run that they've been on with Josh Allen. So they got to retool, they got to create that. And I'm entertaining, the plus 195 to miss the playoffs, to be honest with you. Look at the AFC. Like, is Buffalo going to win it at that division with Miami, and the Jets? You can throw away New England if you want to.
Still got the hoodie over there.
Yeah. Look at the AFC North. There's probably going to be two teams coming out of there. Jacksonville is on the come up. You know, who knows what happens with the rest of those teams in that division.
But and there's not a lot of spots. The musical chair. If you don't win the division.
If you don't win the division, now it's up for grabs from a playoff standpoint with the wild card, right? And you got to win some key games with the wild card situation. The AFC got the extra game this year, too. That could help out Buffalo, but no, I'm entertaining the plus 195 to miss the playoffs.
That's fascinating because, look, you see it on the screen there, plus $1.35 to win the East. That used to be, that was minus $2 last year, right? Now, all of a sudden, you get plus money there at plus $1.35. So
navigating their division is going to be more difficult than people believe.
Yeah, I agree with that. That is for sure. Let's go to Boy Genius 2.0 out there in L.A., and I still can't believe they lost that playoff game to the Jags. I cannot.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you, Brandon Staley. And I wonder if this is respectful or rude. Minus $1.20 to miss the postseason altogether. Now, to make it, it's basically even money. Now, which way would you slide on that spectrum? Because I got to be honest with you. I actually thought he did a better job of coaching in the regular season than he did the year before, where inexplicably somehow they blew a playoff spot with some of his decisions. And then it reverts in the postseason. You just can't blow a 27-0 lead.
Right.
I don't care who you're playing.
Yeah.
And let alone the Jags.
Where are the problems with the Chargers, though? Like, if you had to identify major problems.
That's the thing. I can't put a finger. Like, the offensive line, Slater was out all year at left tackle. That hurt them, right?
So still was prolific, though.
Right.
Right.
So you can still run the ball. You can do all that. You got the big body receivers. You go get another wide receiver out of TCU in the first round. I mean, the defense, if you can keep Derwin James and Bosa healthy, it feels like the sum of the parts doesn't equal what it should be.
Yeah, always talented. The Chargers have always been a talented roster, talented team, talented franchise. But there's been something missing. I think from a facility standpoint, they can't rehab and they can't stay up to par with everybody else.
They fired the team doctor, by the way.
I know. That's been in play with the Chargers for years.
And it sounds like an aside. It is the most bizarre thing.
A player will tell you that do not play for the Chargers because you're going to get punctured in the lung once.
Tyrod Taylor.
Or
that happened.
Or you don't have the facilities to help you rehab and stay on par, stay up to par with everybody else. So that's against the Chargers. They just got Kellen Moore, new offensive coordinator, as if the offense was the problem.
Now they were scoring points.
Boy Genius 2.0 who can't keep anybody out the end zone.
He's a defensive guy.
I know.
That's how he got the job from the Rams.
They can't keep people out the end zone. That's been their problem. So to miss the playoffs, I think it's respectable to be a favorite situation minus 120.
I'm kind of with you on that. And it kind of goes to the next team I want to talk about. That is the team out here in the desert, the Silver and Black. Plus 350 for the Raiders to make the postseason. Yeah. Now, that seems like a bit of a whoosh to Jimmy G and company. It seems a bit disrespectful to yours truly. I will come clean. I do have a 12-1 ticket on them to win the division. This is before they got Jimmy G.
Right, right.
Because I didn't know what quarterback they were going to get.
Okay.
The Lamar Jackson sweepstakes at the
time.
But I knew they were going to upgrade a quarterback. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to Derek Carr, who's now down in New Orleans. But at plus 350, is that respectful or do you think it's still a little rude and maybe it should be longer?
I think it's rude from the standpoint that they should be closer to a favorite situation to make the playoffs, I believe.
So this is a good number.
I think it's a good number, but it's rude to the fact that I think the bookmakers are overlooking the obvious and overlooking other things. Like, Jimmy G is going to elevate the offense that was almost a top 10 offense last year. Mm. They had the leading rusher in Josh Jacobs.
Waller. He's in New York.
Darren Waller avoided physicality, so they needed to get rid of him. Mm. They got a more physical player and a more dynamic player in Michael Mayer. They've actually upgraded the tight end position.
Wow.
The question about the Raiders, and it has been a long question and in terms of not being answered, is defensively. Can they get it together defensively? And if you have a guy like Tyree Wilson as a third option, and you need Chandler Jones to play well for at least half the season, right? And then you got Max on the other side, and I think they have enough veteran leadership on the defense in the secondary to help out. The defense is going to play better. They should. They should execute better.
Yeah, they've actually upgraded, right?
Right. I think so from a personnel standpoint. Where they've really upgraded is Jimmy G and the nuances of this Josh McDaniels offense. And that Josh McDaniels offense, I don't care who you are, that thing has led teams to playoffs and Super Bowls.
Hmm.
And last year, year one, had a prolific offense to where you had the leading rusher in the National Football League. So I'm bullish on the Raiders, to be honest with you. I think the makeup is there. I think the veterans put their vets up against everybody else's vets in the AFC West division on paper, mind you. And there's not a lot of difference at all.
I'm with you, man. If you can get Chandler Jones to play, because he shows it in spurts, right?
Yeah.
And when he shows it, you go, wow, this is why he paid that money to go get you and make the move to get you to Las Vegas. It does feel like if a kid out of Texas Tech is who we think he is, and some are saying he was going to be the second pick overall,
right,
they might have got a steal there at 7. So, yeah, I think plus 350 feels like a playable number for me for the Raiders to make the playoffs. I wonder if this is rude or respectful for not my team, your team, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, minus $1.90 to make the playoffs. Now, we mentioned off the top of the segment, the NFC feels like it's watered down. I mean, the depth just doesn't appear to be there. Some might make the case that the Cowboys are, at least on paper, the third best team in the entire conference.
Right.
So to lay $1.90 to make the playoffs, a lot of things got to go wrong for you to miscash this ticket.
Sure. I mean, come on. It's the Cowboys. It's Dak. I mean, it's the NFC, like you mentioned. Like, who's the best quarterback in the NFC? It's got to be Jalen. You start with Jalen?
I guess. I mean, and the thing is, 2 years ago, that would have been Dak.
Yeah.
If Rodgers was out of the conference, we would have said Dak.
The 49ers don't have a quarterback right now.
Not to my knowledge.
We think it's going to be Brock. He's going to be healthy.
Purdy's got a bad wing, too.
Sure. But, yeah, minus 190, kind of rude right there, I think. But, I mean, it's playable.
I think it's very playable.
Yeah.
And again, I'm a bit of a homer. I've got some tickets +$1.85 to win the division. I know the Eagles got a lot better on paper in the draft. But it is interesting that number for the Eagles to win the East actually went in the opposite direction after the draft. So that is surprising to me.
Yeah.
Mention the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
+$1.60 to make the playoffs. Remember, got to lay $1.90 for the Cowboys to make it. But for the Bears, you get plus money, +$1.60. Respectful? It feels respectful to me because I don't think that number's long enough for me to play.
Yeah, no, it's not long enough to play, but for the Bears to make the playoffs, a lot, it is the NFC, go back to that, but a lot has to be different for the Bears. And, you know, their draft, little momentum right there, a little. But you're hoping and banking on the growth of Justin Fields.
That's what it is.
And yeah, so this guy right here on the screen, I mean, if there's an upside to be had, and if he can become a pocket passer in addition to what he does with his legs already, that turns into what everybody coveted this year with Anthony Richardson, right?
No doubt.
Turns into that. So, but that's a big question. When does that happen? And does that happen for Justin Fields to turn into a pocket passer?
I'd say the similarities to me for Bears fans this year, for year three for Justin Fields, are almost exactly the same for me as a Cowboy fan years ago when Dak Prescott was going into year three. If you remember, Dak had an amazing rookie year when Romo got hurt,
right.
Comes in and leads him to the playoffs. Second year, not so good. And I remember saying that year, it's not about winning the division. It's not about getting to the playoffs. It's about, do you have the quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is for the Bears this year. Like, to me, I'm not going to play a plus $1.60 to make the postseason. Because remember, the Cowboys went through a coaching change, and Mike McCarthy had to come in. And he had to go through this, too, in Chicago, right? Matt Eberflus, they didn't draft him. So, like, they're going to figure out right now, because you get to those fifth-year options and all those things. This is a big year for Justin Fields to prove that he is the guy long-term.
Absolutely. First-round quarterbacks in the NFC. Name them on one hand.
First round quarterbacks in the NFC?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need more time. We'll get to that on the other side of the break here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com. Check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every single game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes. You can see the changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way VSiN is here to make you a smarter bettor year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It is Tuesday. Which, look at the graphic. I hope you're a VSiN Pro subscriber and you can see that white hot, hot take Tuesday graphic we just flashed on the screen. Pritch, I've been told that you're really good at this. Like, you got a lot. You come off the top rope every once in a while some of these hot take Tuesdays. So let's start off with your hot take.
Okay.
And I believe it resides with one of the highest drafted quarterbacks in this class.
Yeah, you know, so sometimes, Dave, with this segment that we do, often with Stormy, obviously, and sometimes I come in too hot.
Too hot?
Right, yeah. So
such a thing on a hot take Tuesday?
I'm going to ease into the hot take. I'm going to just start
with this. This is a lukewarm.
I'm going to let you decide if it's a hot take or not. So here's what I think is, I'm already confessing that it's not the hottest take, but it's a hot take to me. And that's Anthony Richardson will prove to be the best quarterback from the 2023 draft.
Whoa.
And will win Rookie of the Year.
Whoa.
And I think that's plus 900 right now.
That is a hot take.
In terms of, now, and here's why. Because it's the fit, right? This is the perfect spot, maybe the only spot that would fit for an Anthony Richardson right away, for him to get on the field and make an immediate impact. It's the same stuff he was doing in college.
Mm.
Now he's in the league. The learning curve is flat for him. Whereas C.J. Stroud in Houston, not a lot of parts to work with either. I think Bryce Young, even though he's got Peyton Manning's IQ, which is laughable, there's going to be some struggle there too, right? There's going to be some struggle with Anthony Richardson, but I think from this standpoint, making an impact with this team when the table's already set. Think about that offensive line. The Colts were thought of to have one of the better offensive line, if not the best offensive line last year. Defensively, Gus Bradley, and they retooled a little bit defensively. So you got Shane Steichen coaching offense. You got Gus Bradley coaching the defense. I think what Jonathan Taylor has mentioned too, now, albeit he's played with Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan, some old guys, right?
Yeah.
Now he's got this guy coming in here. It looks different at quarterback now.
So those guys aren't as mobile as what we're going
to
see.
Right. It's completely different, but it's refreshing to those vets. And we just had that conversation with about Lorenzo Alexander.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want the old veteran quarterback, or do you want the new hotness, right? And Anthony Richardson is the new hotness that I think that locker room desperately wanted.
I think that definitely qualifies as a hot take is because you look at him at the Roy as the rookie of the year at 9-1, which says to me that what kind of to our previous conversation, they're going to see right away that this is the guy that's got to be under center.
Right.
I don't know if it's week one, but it's early. I have a ticket before the draft, obviously, not knowing which quarterback they were going to get. But because of what you mentioned with all the other parts in this team, which I don't think they're that far off, and I don't think the division – I know the Jags are the betting favorite to win it. You can get the Colts at 5-1 to win this division. I think they're in play. That if he could show a modicum of success as a rookie, and they have close to 500, he will be in play for your rookie of the year. I think it's actually a really good ticket to have.
Yeah, why wouldn't he be on the field week one, though? And that's the question I'm trying to get to or try to answer. Like, if you're the Colts – why isn't this guy your week one starter? I mean, he's a perfect fit for what you want to do with the six eligibles, the mobile quarterback, the running quarterback, Jalen Hurts back-to-back years with double-digit touchdowns. And again, what did the Eagles have? They had a stellar offensive line. On paper, the Colts, who underachieved last year with an offensive line, a lot of reasons why. but if they can play better this year, which I think they can with this offense, it sets the stage. Like I said, the table's already made for Anthony Richardson.
I think it's a fantastic way to handicap that market. You have another.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is the hot one.
Okay.
This is the hot one.
Buckle up, America.
Ready. Well, did you think that was hot, though?
Yeah, it was hot.
Okay.
Because now I feel a lot better about my Colts ticket.
Okay. Well, this is the hotter one, I think. The L.A. Rams will tank the season.
Oh.
And look to draft Caleb Williams in 2024. And here's why. If you look at the Rams, are they closer to winning four more games this season, which would put them certainly at 9-8, borderline playoff team, or are they closer to losing two more games than they did last year, which puts them with 14 losses, and then you got the three wins, which puts them squarely in the category of selecting Caleb Williams number one overall.
That is the hottest of hot takes. Because I don't know Sean McVay very well from our DC days, but I was there when he was there. Because I never talked to Sean because he wasn't thought of. It was Kyle Shanahan with Mike's kid, and you could see the ascension there. Is that a conversation that Sean has to have with Les Snead? And they say, hey, look, man, like Matty Stafford's damaged goods. We could get a King's Ransom probably for Cooper Kupp, who we gave a new deal to. We have tradable. We just dealt Jalen Ramsey, by the way. So we've got movable parts. We could just say, hey, let's, you know, kind of mail it in 2023, load up on draft picks, L.A. to L.A. kid.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, 2024 looks a lot brighter.
Sure it does. I mean, they're closer to losing two more games than they are closer to winning four more games. Put it that way. The discussion has to take place, I believe. Stetson Bennett is the backup quarterback. If you read between the lines, too, with Matthew Stafford, and the chances that Stetson Bennett is going to get on the field are high, in my opinion. Because here's the information about Matthew Stafford. It was a feeling of numbness in both feet, by the way. That was an alarming symptom that kept Stafford out of action. The diagnosis of his injury is a spinal cord contusion. I don't know why he's messing around with this.
Life doesn't want him to play anymore.
Right, other than the fact that, okay, you need to pad your numbers maybe for the Hall of Fame, who knows. But the reality of Stetson Bennett being on the field for the Rams, I think, is a distinct reality. I think that's going
to
happen.
Nobody wants to hear that. But the Colts did this, suck for luck.
Sure.
We've seen teams do this. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they do exactly what you're talking about right now. And if we're being bluntly honest, big picture, it actually makes sense.
That's a hot take, though.
That's a hot take.
That's hotter than another.
My hot take is going to get me, it's going to pull my Chicago card once and for all. I worked and lived in Chicago for the better part of 8 years. Bad news, Bears fans. I know the old owner. Discount double check. He's gone.
Yeah.
And they are like, man, singing the praises like the king is dead. It's time for our new king. I don't know. You're better than the Packers, even without Aaron. I think Jordan Love, it's not that I'm sold necessarily on Jordan Love right now, but I'm sold on the sum of the parts of the Packers more so than I am the sum of the parts of the Bears. I don't know what Matt Eberflus is trying to do right now with the identity of this football team. I really don't. It's very confusing to me. You don't have David Montgomery there anymore. I don't know if your wide receivers are ever going to be up to snuff. We're trying to improve that group, and we'll find out about Justin Fields. But for my money, right now, a smarter play, if you're looking at the two long shots in the division, to me, it's the Packers.
Okay.
I think the Packers have a foundation. They got two running backs. They got two young receivers that look like they're going to be very good. They've got a decent enough offensive line. They drafted defense. We'll find out how that works. But to me, on paper, Packers are still better than the Bears, and that's without the discount double check leaving town.
Okay, so your hot take is the Packers will be better than the Bears.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I don't know how hot that is. But well, they've always been.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think right now, for some reason, we're
because
sliding
everybody's talking
Green
about
Bay.
The Bears.
So. Everybody. Okay. The hype machine's around Chicago.
Right.
I'm not ready to buy that.
You know, the thing that the Bears do have going for them is defensively, you know, a bunch of veterans and all that. You know, Eberflus and can he coach up that team? And then
you go get Edmonds out of Buffalo.
Right. How quickly can that offense evolve with Justin Fields? I mean, it's legitimate take, though. It is.
Thank you.
It is. I don't know if I need a ice water or anything like that to cool me off from it.
But. No. Maybe nice tea.
It was warm, though.
It was warm. I'm just sorry, Bears. I'm not ready to get there with you. Our producer, Steph, and we can understand where she's coming from this hot take. And it's kind of like mine. Whereas you go, really? Well, yeah, she says the Patriots and the hoodie will be better than the guy I just talked about, Aaron, and the new look New York Jets.
Yeah.
Take flight, hashtag. So if you look at the Patriots, they're a long shot to win the East. My goodness. The Jets are the second betting favorite. Are you with Steph that the Patriots are going to be better than the new look, J-E-T-S, J-E-T-S.
I mean, she is out there on the limb.
She is
out there. She's
nobody
like on
else
the edge
is saying
of,
that.
No, she's not. She's out there by herself with this one. From a take standpoint, it is pretty
it's
warm.
Very hot.
Pretty hot, right? But out there on the limb, though. Out there on the limb with it. I mean, I can't see it. I
8-1 to win the East.
No, I can't do it. I'm sorry, Stephanie. I mean, the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, Aaron. I mean, that's where my money is going to go in that division.
He's gone to every single sporting event there is at MSG.
Mr. New York now.
He's going to all of them. By the way, those teams are losing. I'm not saying the Knicks are losing because they am or the Rangers lost, but they did lose. When we come back, we'll go up to Boston and get Josh Applebaum's thoughts next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best plays and the bets from our show hosts and guests. You're going to get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort those picks out by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, ROI. See which VSiN expert has the current hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You sign up now for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, Dave Ross here. We are at Circus Sportsbook. Going to go up to Boston now to catch up with our guy, Josh Applebaum. He, of course, is the host of VSiN Morning Bets podcast. You can follow him as I do at Josh_insights. Josh, I don't know if you heard the previous conversation, but since you're up there in Boston, producer Steph, her hot take today on a Tuesday is that the Patriots will finish ahead of the Jets. How hot is that take?
Oh, that's a red hot take right there, guys. It's Pritch and Dave, it's great to be with you. But Steph's my girl. We're both from Massachusetts, so maybe we got a little bit of that Massel vibe going here, rooting for the Patriots. But I would just say their win total to me, Patriots, it's 7.5. When's the last time you had a Patriots team at a 7.5 win total? I don't even know through the Belichick era. You probably got to go back to maybe those first couple of years if it was that low. But I think with the Patriots, you know, to me, I do like the over 7.5. You're kind of buying low at this point. I think bringing in, you know, Bill O'Brien here, I'm not betting them to win the AFC East, but you're definitely going to get some better coaching here on offense. You bring in Gesicki, you bring in Juju Smith-Schuster, you load up on defense in the draft. To me, this is a team that is going to flirt with like 8-9, 9-8. I do like the over 7.5. I'm going to root for Steph here, of course, root for my Patriots, but I got to say, I think with the Jets and Rodgers, I might put them ahead of New England this
just
year.
Just a quick follow-up on this one, because we saw Matt Mac and Cheese.
Oh,
Mac Jones kind of have meltdowns out there, right?
Throw a mac fit. And cheese meltdowns.
Well,
I love it.
Cam Newton called him mac
yeah,
and cheese.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Although he did chill us up a little bit, but a little doughy to start his career.
He was.
Is he going to be okay with O'Brien? Because both those guys, man, they redline it at times. Mm.
Yeah, and Pritch, what's kind of fascinating too is that, you know, the what you've been hearing, the narrative is that, you know, Mac Jones and Bill O'Brien are like best friends and they work together at Alabama. And then when Bill O'Brien was had his first press conference in New England, he basically dismissed that. He said, we were basically just past each other in the hallways. His first year was when Mac was leaving. He didn't give a lot of credit. You heard that the narrative was Mac Jones kind of taught Bill O'Brien the Alabama way. I think Belichick's kind of playing mind games with Mac Jones right now. He's trying to, he didn't like the wow. way that he handled himself. You went all summer without Belichick ever saying the name Mac Jones. He would either say him or he wouldn't even refer to him as his starting quarterback. Remember the Cam Newton year? Cam's my quarterback. Cam's my quarterback. He was throwing it like a, you know, a can of paint here and he couldn't go 5 yards, but Belichick stayed with him the entire year. Mac Jones, I think he's kind of giving him tough love, and you start to see maybe turn around here. And remember, Mac Jones is a first round pick. Yeah. He's got the 5th year option coming up. They have to decide whether or not they're going to stick with him or go back to the draft. Again, I like the over 7.5, but I'm not making any Super Bowl, you know, reservations here with New England.
Sounds like that. My relationships are icier than some of those. My goodness, doesn't sound good with those two. I do want to get to the C's tonight up there in Beantown here, Josh. Laying 7.5 against the Sixers. Look, it's kind of a head scratcher to me. And you look at the two games the C's have won, kind of comfortable. You look at the two that Philly's won; they've been right there, you know, end of regulation with Harden in Game One, and certainly in overtime. In Game Four, what's going on with the C's here? Because now you mess around and you're in a very pivotal all of a sudden Game Five.
Yeah, and Dave, you know, we were talking right before we came on here about the last game in Philadelphia where there's a big sharp move late to Philly. Couldn't understand why, but the Celtics were -3, got all the way down to a pick 'em. So the Celtics, I can just tell you from watching this team and seeing them grow throughout the years, when you don't expect them to do well, they do great. When they start to read all the you know, the press clippings about how great they are, that's when they kind of get in over their head and they're liable to give you kind of lay an egg in a game here. So what I'm looking at is Mazzulla. How is Mazzulla going to handle this? He's getting a lot of criticism, and I think it's warranted. Mm-hmm. You know, Mazzulla is a guy who doesn't call timeouts. The analytics say that if you call a timeout, number one, you'll be able to, you know, draw up a play, and you might get an extra possession. Like if you wait until the end, you know, you got to make it. If you don't, you lose. If not, you can miss it. You know, foul, you still hit a 3 there late. So Mazzulla's getting a lot of criticism as a rookie coach for not calling timeouts. And I can just tell you, it is so infuriating that Marcus Smart is taking these last shots every single game. Marcus Smart should not. I get that he's wide open, but he's wide open because they don't respect his shooting. So to me, I think you got to draw better plays down the stretch. I hope Mazzulla isn't kind of the guy that keeps the Celtics from winning the title. They are +155 to win the title. But Mazzulla, to me, I think he's probably Brad Stevens is saying, come up to my office. Let me teach you a couple of things about coaching. No more Marcus Smart final shots. That'll be my biggest criticism of Mazzulla.
Yeah, there are some pretty good options on the floor outside of Marcus
yeah.
Smart. Let's get to the other game. And your podcast really should be the early bird gets the worm, right? I mean, that's truly the case with you because of the line movement. Chris Paul believed to be out for this game. You know, people are anticipating his return in Game 5, but you got a good number on this matchup with Phoenix and Denver.
Yeah, Pritch, I got the -5.5. I bet this thing earlier this morning with Denver. Now we are seeing this line get up to 6, and I think, to your point, Pritch, this is why sports betting is so important. You look at last night's game, that was like +3.5 down to 2 for Golden State. What happens? They lose by 3. So if you got a late number, you lose. If you got an early number with the hook, you would have cashed here. So again, important thing here is if they win by 6, I want to be able to cover my 5.5 versus betting this thing late. But even at 6, I'm still going to go Denver Nuggets here tonight, guys. Couple things going on. Number one, consistent line movement toward Denver. Denver opened as low as -4.5. I even saw a -4 opener. Now Denver, again, overnight got to 5, then got to the 5.5 this morning. Now they're up to 6. I see a couple shops, maybe like it even might go to 6.5. So there's really been zero buyback whatsoever here on the Phoenix Suns. And really, you kind of like the bet split here for the Denver Nuggets. Tickets are relatively even, guys. You're only getting about 54% of bets on Denver, so it's not like this is a primetime game with 80% of the public. Everyone at the bar betting Denver. The people at the bar are split here. They don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. How do you not take, you know, 6 points here with Durant and Booker, but then also you got to respect Jokic at home. But I like the line move. You're only getting about 50% bets, but almost 75% of the money is on Denver. So that tells me those bigger wagers are going with the Nuggets here. And this has been unbelievable, guys. You know me, I like to look at systems, I like to look at kind of the way things are trending and try to apply that to your handicap. what we've seen so far, it's happened the last few years, and it's really kind of on steroids this year, is chalk favorites in the NBA playoffs. Wow. You saw it last night, regardless of the line move. You know, you saw back and forth with the Knicks game. Obviously, the line dipped to the Golden State last night, but the Lakers still covered. Favorites 2-0 last night, ATS, but overall this postseason, just going with the favorite, you're 36-27 against the spread, 57% ATS. Favorites are 9-0 against the spread, their last nine playoff games here. Last three postseasons, favorites are 58% against the spread, so it's not just this year, it's really what you've seen over the last few years. Also, the zigzag theory, you lose a game, you come back the next game, you're covering 15-6 against the spread, 71% this year. And then playoff home favorites with a line move in their direction, they're 16-10 ATS, 62%. So these would all match with the Denver Nuggets tonight. So I laid the 5.5. Again, I don't love that it's moving up and you're getting the worst of the number, but maybe if this gets to 6.5, the 6 won't look so bad. Then also, Pritch, I'll throw this to you, but the elevation in Denver, it's always difficult. And you know this, having been in Colorado, it's really difficult for a team that isn't used to the elevation. We usually think about Mile High and the Denver Broncos, but same thing with the Nuggets. It's hard to go to elevation, especially with Booker and Kevin Durant playing big minutes here, their third game in 5 days. Jokic and his team are used to the elevation. So far this year, postseason and regular season, the Nuggets are 29-16 against the spread at home, 64%. They're 34-7 straight up at home here, and there's 4-1 ATS at home in the postseason. So, Pritch, I know you know how the elevation can really be a big advantage. I'm going Nuggets minus 5.5 today. Again, it's ticked up to 6 now.
Yeah, and that crowd is going to be energized, too, because of the ownership situation and what happened to their guy, the Joker, I'm going to say pregame. I think because the fans in Denver, they get to a fever pitch, certainly, supporting their teams. And I think that crowd is going to be energized from the pregame. I'm not going to even start at the tip. I'm going to say the pregame. Phoenix is going to have to overcome not only the altitude, like you mentioned, Josh, but also that energy in the building as well.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think that feels like the right side to Josh's point. The number is ticking up 6.5 now. So try to get the better of the number before it gets out of hand. Conversely, tomorrow night, I'm looking at the Warriors. That number's already hopped up to 7, open around 6. You talk about early bird getting the worm here, Josh. I think the betting market likes Golden State to rebound here and keep their season alive. Any early take on that game tomorrow night?
Yeah, great point by you, Dave, because I think obviously as bettors, we're focused on, you know, what are the sweats for tonight? But again, if you look toward tomorrow, it's kind of a futures bet in a way. I know it's only 24 hours away, but you want to get that good number early. So to your point, I mean, I like the Warriors in this one. You're not getting the best of it anymore. It's now up to 7. I think it opened at minus 6. But again, do we get to 7.5? Do we get to 8? I gave you all those systems there, those chalk favorites, those zigzag, you know, you bounce back and win. Then also throw another thing at you guys. If you noticed when LeBron James got interviewed last night, he said something really interesting. He said, something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, we better bring our A game to Golden State for the next game. If not, we could get blown out in their building. He said the word blown out. So tells you kind of what that team is thinking in terms of going on the road. And again, this is what we've seen in the NBA playoffs. It's very simple. It's these favorites. It's these home teams. And again, pros who set these numbers said when that opened minus 6 Golden State, that was a really good number to lay with Golden State. So we'll see, guys. By tomorrow, maybe it's 7.5. But I'd be looking Golden State in tomorrow's game.
Yeah, great advice. That's why you got to check out Morning Bets every morning with our guy, Josh Appelbaum. Appreciate it, Josh. Have a great betting day today on a Tuesday.
You too, guys. Have a great day.
All right, when we come back, there are levels to this in the NFL when it comes to coaching. We'll talk about some numbers associated when you come back next on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can use and earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert those BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resort properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for all the terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800 Gambler. Back alongside Mike Pritchard, Dave Ross here, wrapping up this edition of the Lombardi Line. A lot of fun today, as always, Pritch, talking all things with you. But I do love to talk NFL, if I can, because I could talk it 24-7, 365.
Same.
That's how
here.
Much we love football. So I mentioned going to break, and we'll get into the segment, but I do want to give out the pro tip here very quickly. And I think it really, if you listen to Josh and Will Hill, who we had on the program earlier today, you can take advantage of good numbers out there, let's say in the NBA playoffs, the day before. Mm-hmm. Okay, like that Golden State game is a perfect example we just talked about with Josh Applebaum. Right now, that number 6.5, I think that's going to be north of 7 before we get to that Game 5 tip tomorrow in San Francisco. So a lot of times we're looking at the day of games, and we get it. Bettors want to bet what's today. But you really might be getting a better of the number if you're looking in advance. Not too far in advance, but if you're looking 24 hours in advance, you might get the better of the number.
Yeah, I mean, from a pro tip standpoint, it's about getting in front of or the market, right?
I mean, we're trying to anticipate the market.
Absolutely, anticipate that. I mean, pro handicappers do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're pros.
That's right.
But certainly, you know, the resources that we have here at VSiN, I mean, Josh, the Early Bird Gets the Worm podcast. I'm going to call it that from now on. But seriously, it's it benefits you. So if you don't have the time to handicap it that way, certainly lean on VSiN from a resource standpoint. But no, it's a pro tip that stands true, though. And you know, the market's going to move it. All kind of information is going to start coming out too, right? So if you feel like you're out in front of the market, certainly go with that instinct as well.
And that is the pro tip for this edition of the Lombardi Line. Again, as a VSiN Pro subscriber, you have access to all the pro tips we have across the VSiN spectrum on the betting day. You can sort those out by show and or by sport. Back to the NFL, and I mentioned levels.
Okay.
There are levels to coaching.
Right.
And I know not all coaches are created equally, right? It's why when you look at Bill Belichick, say, and you go, man, I can't believe we're kind of discounting the hoodie this year and his team.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put these coaches for the beginning of this discussion in tier one. Some might even argue if they should be tier one coaches.
Okay.
Because when you look at the – what we're trying to do is look at numbers associated with coach of the year in these tiers and see which one might actually have value there. Dan Campbell is now a tier one coach.
How about that?
From a betting standpoint. He's 8-1 to get coach of the year. Yeah. Look at that. Like, all of a sudden, Dan Campbell biting kneecaps. We're going, man, this guy's on the short list to win coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you do have to look at kind of how you handicap a team, because I do think team success is going to go to that individual award success. So you got to kind of marry those two, i.e. D'Amico Ryans is 14-1. Well, nobody knows what D'Amico Ryans is going to be, Pritch. So we're not saying he's a tier one coach. But in this graph, he is because the expectation level is so low.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about the narrative, too, because these are voters that we're dealing with here. I think there's correlative betting as well. Like, because you think the Packers are better than the Bears, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's Eberflus with a better odds situation for coach of the year. So, no, it gets interesting that way.
Right?
I think there's value on tier one because I don't know if Robert Saleh has gotten the clout or the credit yet for changing the culture in New York. Now, I know they get Aaron Rodgers. That to me is icing on the cake. The cake, what he's already baked, was changing the culture with all those players. I mean, this is a team that overachieved last year, and they didn't have a quarterback. They've drafted very, very well, too. So I think there's some value in 18-1 with Robert Saleh. Pete Carroll, been there, done that, championship type of coach. He's at 18-1, too. Now, the narrative, right? Who gets a better narrative, Pete Carroll or Robert Saleh, when Pete Carroll has Geno Smith and Robert Saleh has Aaron Rodgers?
I think Pete Carroll should have been I was kind of banging the drum for him last year to get coach of the year because I thought he did a remarkable job.
Surprise team.
With a team that had super low expectations coming in after trading Russell Wilson to Denver. Carroll at 18-1. And again, you can look at kind of manipulate the markets. You know, Seattle, you're going to get about 4-1 right now to win the West. I think Carroll at 18-1 is not a bad play there. If they can win the West, they have to win the West.
It's
got to
be one team, though.
Right.
Because Arizona, the Rams taken.
No. So 18-1 might not be a bad value
play. They got to beat San Francisco.
Right.
With Brock Purdy coming back from surgery.
Right. So I think that's not a bad play. To me, that's the one I would identify as a value at 18-1. Because you're right. Saleh's now going to think, well, we got Aaron Rodgers. You're supposed to win that.
Well, then, you know, the division. So you got Buffalo and Josh Allen, and then you got the hoodie and, you know, New England. So maybe there's a stronger narrative for Roberts. Either way, both of those guys are 18-1, though.
Yeah, not bad price points there. Yeah. Tier two. We just talked about Boy Genius 2.0 a little bit and Brandon Staley. They're 20-1 for Brandon to win. He's 20-1 to win the coach of the year.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson, same number with the Jags. We saw what he did last year there. Out of this group, is there a coach that you think, because again, you got, I think you almost have to win the division minimum to be in the conversation. Is there a coach that you say that number sticks out, maybe a good price point?
Well, along with the narrative too, I mean, Shane Steichen is a carry on first time head coaches, you know, you got the quarterback, you got the perfect fit. And then, you know, Arthur Smith, I mean, there's a lot of people interested in Atlanta right now and what's going on with what they're doing. Now the quarterback remains a big question mark.
Desmond Ridder.
Brian Daboll. I mean, I don't know if there's enough strong enough narrative. Harbaugh 25-1. What's that telling you about the Ravens a little bit here?
That surprises me because
from a coach of the year standpoint, right?
Right. Because Vrabel's also 25-1. I'm not betting Vrabel as much respect as I have for him. Like I feel like the Ravens are a team that really could, if you can keep Lamar healthy, which is a big if now.
Yeah.
He can't win coach of the year. If you're 8-3 like they were 2 years ago, your quarterback goes out and you can't win another game. Mm-hmm. You know, you missed. You can't hold on to what you had. Like, it almost to me is predicated on that team success. So Harb's at 25-1. Yeah, the Bengals are still the team to beat. By the way, Zach Taylor's 20-1.
Right.
But I like your Shane Steichen because at 22-1, if the Colts were able to win that division year one with a rookie quarterback, they're going to go, man. Steichen is the reason Jalen Hurts did what he did in Philly.
Right.
Steichen's the reason why the Colts are having success. I think that's a better number out of that group right there.
So do I. I mean, Zach Taylor would have to go undefeated, I think, to win, you know, 20-1 coach of the year with that
roster, right?
Yeah, expectation. So
let's go tier three. In this group, you'll find the quarterback of the Packers that you were alluding to earlier, and that is Matt LaFleur, 30-1. Like, I'm with you. I don't know if Matt LaFleur is a good coach. I know Bill Belichick is. At 30-1, I'm pretty sure Mike McCarthy's still a decent coach, even though he'll never get the credit. If the Cowboys win, it's going to be Dan Quinn, it's going to be Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones. It's not going to be Mike McCarthy because people just don't look at him that way. LaFleur could be that wild card. Mm-hmm. That now he's got Jordan Love, and now how good a coach are you? If the Packers were to win that division, and they're 4-1, then maybe LaFleur is in play at 30-1.
There goes your Packers. Love right there, right? I mean,
I don't know that they're going to win the division.
I don't think they're going to win the division.
But at 30-1 for LaFleur, I'd almost rather play that than the Packers
to win
the
division. Mike McCarthy's down there at 30-1, though.
No respect.
But, well, there's expectations, too, built
right, they don't respect McCarthy
in
the betting market.
That, too, yeah.
Right? What about Tomlin at 30-1? Because he's never had a losing. You ever heard that?
Never had a losing season?
He just doesn't lose. Yeah. He doesn't have a losing season. If they were to win the North?
Win the North with a second-year quarterback?
Yep.
Yeah. Very young team.
Again, because we're expecting the Bengals and the Ravens
right,
to be
Bengals,
the cream
right,
of the
crop. Absolutely. Sean McVay goes along with my tanking theme.
There's no way I'm playing McVay at 31.
No.
There's no way.
Gosh, Sean McDermott's 31, too.
But see, again, the expectation's too high.
Right.
We're trying to find low-expectation teams. Mm-hmm. And I think they've never been lower for Green Bay. Like to me, it's kind of a playable number, 30-1 for Matt.
Out of this tier, Mike Tomlin for sure. Out of this tier,
Reed's never going to get it.
No, who's the other one that you mentioned?
Well, I look at LaFleur at 30-1 and Tomlin at 30-1.
I can get on board with Tomlin. I don't know about LaFleur though. I think
he's
up
there.
I think he's up against it.
Kyle Shanahan's 30-1 in this last year as well. Expectations are just too high.
And McDaniels needs to win the division too, right? To be coach of the year.
Long road to go.
Yeah.
Pritch has a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It just, the time flies by. Thanks to Stephanie putting together this fine show. And of course, Josh Applebaum and Will Hill for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your Betting Tuesday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.